Morning. You guys can turn your Bibles, book of Romans, chapter 8. Just a couple quick comments here in the public reading. God's plan is, God's battle strategy is a lot different than what man's is. And still true today. They're not many mighty, not many noble, according to the flesh. God takes the weak things of the world, the despised, and God builds us up as His army. God knows what He's doing. God's right. God keeps score differently than man does, but man's wrong. God knows what He's doing. And so, brethren, I want to encourage you. You know, Kevin mentioned earlier, we've got to get used to Him. Hey, we're going to be in heaven together. We got to make sure we look at each other the way that God sees us. You can't look with according to the flesh. You can't say, I don't know about this battle plan. You know, David, when David was getting set up for the kingdom, it looks from the world's perspective, he's running for his life. And who are the people that are gathering around him? Those that were in debt and those who are some of the outcasts of society, some of the rebels. And God used them to form a foundation on which David's kingdom was built. So you make sure that you first of all get your attitude right about yourself. God's chosen you. He loves you. He says you are worthy for the cost of the blood of His Son. And then you need to see your brothers and sisters the same way. Romans chapter 8, really the stewardship and Lord's Supper meditation really go along with this message again today. And I don't think that's by accident. Some of the details that Mike and Clint were hitting, I'm going to try to draw from that and paint a big picture of really what this is about. In Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1, and let's read through verse 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's pray. Lord, You are an awesome God. We thank You for Your plan of redemption, that truly Jesus is the one who is going to redeem Israel. And that would include, Father, this house we know is a house for all the nations. We're thankful for Your plan of rescuing us. We're thankful for the help of the Holy Spirit, that You have not left us to do this alone. That You, as You have sent us, Father, You are with us. And we are those who always do the things that are pleasing to You. I ask, Father, You be with me today as I preach Your Word, that I'll be able to communicate clearly. And that each of us would really understand, recognize the importance of, and make the appropriate decisions in reference to our mindset. This is no game, Lord. This is serious. It is the stakes are eternal, first for our souls and then for the souls of those around us. So I ask that You strengthen me and help me to preach this message clearly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been working through Romans 6, 7, and 8. Not going to spend much time on review. We know Romans chapter 6, what takes place in the waters of immersion. God performs a work there. We come in faith. Now, brethren, faith is really understanding. It's a picture. It's viewing things the way that they really are. I'm going to put it that way. It's seeing beyond the realm of the seen into the realm of the unseen. It's seeing beyond the temporal into the eternal. God says this takes place. He says the old man dies to sin. A new man is raised to walk. Walk in newness of life. Now, God starts there. The waters of immersion, that's where He starts with us. That's where we first get into Christ Jesus. There's a mind set right there from the beginning of who we are. But it's easy to forget that. And so the Holy Spirit reminds Paul, as he's writing Romans 6, he's writing to Christians. Or do you not know that? This is a reminder. You got to remember, this is what you have to know about yourself. And he goes on, he talks about then developing habits that are according to righteousness. That's what God wants. He wants a practicing righteousness, doesn't he? This is not something that happens solely in the mind of God. Like we've heard some of the stuff from Chuck Dowdy. It's like, well, here's the mind of God and this is reality. Wrong. The mind of God is right. This is what happened. And God does this. We got to catch up. I like the way Steve Doty says it. We got to catch up to the spiritual reality. We got to get our mind right. And Romans chapter 7 shows the struggles of going back under law and the failures that happen over and over in accordance with that. In Romans chapter 8, the beginning of this, we've seen we've been set free from the law of sin and of death. What the law couldn't do, God did. And He's done great things for us, brother. He's done amazing things for us. But we got to keep this picture. And that's the message that I want to preach on today, is the mindset. You know, if today probably isn't a fair day because we have a number of people that are actually traveling and sick and out of town. But just in general, have you guys noticed? We had a lot of new Christians in the last few years. But you notice there's a little ebb and flow to this thing. A bunch of new Christians, people come, and then the attendance gets up, and then it'll back off. Then we'll go and get more new Christians, it'll go up. And there's a steady growth, which is great. But, man, there's a lot of people that don't make it. Just the reality of it. I don't like that. God doesn't like that. God's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's God's desire. That's my desire. I am confident that's your desire. The reason I bring this up, brother, is this is not easy. The longer I live, the more thankful I am for those who finish this faithfully. Not easy. Now, the question, I guess, today is for you. Because you can't make choices for anybody else. Sometimes I would like to. Then I think it through logically. Let's see. I'm glad God doesn't make choices for anybody else. It wouldn't be real. So I'm thankful that I don't. But you know what I mean. In the moment, sometimes, man, I wish I could help this person make that right choice. Can't do that. We can be an example. We can put some things out there for others. But every one of us, we got to step up. We got to make these choices. And the scripture here is really clear. It talks about a mindset. You know, we have a saying in today's culture, it is what it is. Right? I hear that sometimes. I like this one. You are what you continually do. Or, old one, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, well, it's a duck. The scripture here does separate into two groups. It says those who are according to the flesh and those who are according to the spirit. Now, brother, in this passage of scripture, the word immersion is not mentioned. He's going to bring it back to some stuff in verse 9. But what I want you to understand, I want you to recognize something. When you stand before the judgment seat of God, what God is not asking for is some baptismal certificate. He doesn't say, oh, do you have the bulletin of the day that you are immersed? That's not what he says here in terms of this separation into two groups. I will say this, and I think most of us looking around are clear on this. You cannot be in the group that has your mind set on the Spirit unless you've been immersed into Christ. There are all sorts of people who are attempting futile efforts at that. They want their minds on the Spirit and they can't do so because they're still in the flesh. So immersion is a start. The Lord's Supper, I'm glad what Clint brought up. Man, this is essential, brother. The Lord's Supper is essential for life. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourselves. I will say this. Those who do not consistently partake in the Lord's Supper, they're just not going to make it. The ones that are hit and miss, and then they're more missed than hit, and then they're gone. This is not easy. The world has a tremendous pull, in case you haven't figured out. This battle is real. The battle, the Scripture's going to put it here in terms of it's for the mind, isn't it? The battle's for the mind. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. The world is pictured as Babylon, this amazing city. I think of Lost Wages or Las Vegas, I mean. First name was probably more accurate, Lost Wages. But you drive through Las Vegas, and this city looks amazing. The money that's there and the glitter and it just pulls you. Wow. This is awesome. You know what that town does? That town's money that's there, that's a facade. What that town's going to do, it's going to steal you of any last cent you got. That's what the world does, brethren. The world is set up. Hey, look, flash, flash, flash. Hey, notice me. It's going to steal you and rob you blind. Spiritually, it's going to suck every last bit out of you. The devil is the ruler of this world, isn't he? And some of you guys even know, you're saying, man, that sounds like work. Work, I'll get into that. But they want to take every last bit of mental energy you have. Where is your mind set? This is a question every one of us got to ask. You know, Revelation 13 talks about the mark of the beast, the right hand on the forehead. Revelation 14 talks about the seal of Christ on your forehead. Where is your mind set? That is the question. I'm going to be a little over the map today here. I hope you guys I'm preaching a little different type of message than normal. Hope you guys can follow along with me. But, you know, the Lord's Supper, I want to come back to this for a second. Just partaking. I'm going to back up one more spot if you'll allow me. Verse 5, Romans 8, verse 5, really holds the key to Christianity. Those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. Those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's what I was trying to drive at. This is where God makes the separation. A little later he's going to say, those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So this is the separation. So when we think about the Lord's Supper, it is essential. But brethren, you can come and you can partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday and punch your clock and not make it to heaven. You can look at it as a ritual or a rite of passage or whatever. And if you miss Christ and if you miss really what Clint did a great job of bringing out in the Lord's Supper, what this is about, you won't make it. I know I have to go to church. It's the way some people's mind says, I know I have to go. I have to have the Lord's Supper. That's not what this is about. I know I have to get immersed. That's not what this is about. It's about the faith, the life-changing faith pictures that come with that, that change who we are from the inside out. If we don't change our mindset, we don't have the faith necessary for salvation. God's going to work on the mind, guys. Your spirit is deeper than the mind. But God's going to work on your mind because your mind, where your mind goes is where your body is going to go. Where your mind goes is what you're going to do. Where your mind goes is going to determine when you're judged by, in accordance with your deeds, what you've done. This is what we got to control, the mind. This battle, we can put it in different ways, and I'm going to try to frame it in a couple different ways here momentarily. But the war, if you will, it is about worship. I haven't got to sit in on Kevin's class, but I encourage you, be here. There is no more important topic. Are you still working on worship, or are you kind of doing some faith things too? Worship to faith. This, both worship and faith. This is important, guys. This, the book of Revelation is really about those who worship God or those who end up in one form or another getting sucked into worship of the devil. I'm not going into all that. But this is what this war is about. And God demands that our worship be in spirit and in truth. You can't accidentally worship God. It doesn't happen that way. This is a commitment. This is God wants your mind and your heart. Cannot happen apart from your mind. You can't worship God without your mind set on the things of the Spirit. How important is this war? You know, this isn't a basketball game where the buzzer goes off and if you lose, you go home and figure out, I'll try to figure out how to win next time. This isn't even a physical battleground where those that are killed end up being, their bodies being packed in body bags. This is eternal body bags. You understand that? There's a huge lie that's out there in the world. Every person that dies, somehow they made it to heaven and their pain's over. And not what the Scripture says. This is real. You have one chance. You have one existence on this earth to determine where you're going to spend eternity. And it has everything to do with your mindset. The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Go with me real quickly to James chapter 4. There's a Romans 8, it says the mind set on the flesh, it can't please God. It's hostile toward God. It can't please Him. James 4:4 says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, I find this interesting because the world has different ways. It has different ways of getting a hold of you. Sometimes it just reaches out there and gets its claws in you and sucks you under. But I think it's just in a general sense, just the everyday beatdown. It's what I call the gravitational attraction, you know, of the world. It's pulling you here. It's trying to keep you here. Trying to keep your mindset. Trying to basically, like, what you look around, you see everybody else doing. Their eyes are down. And they're putting one foot in front of the other. And they're numb. They have no idea. They're just numb. The world can do that to you. The mind set on the flesh is death. That will sap your life. It will kill you. And so the scriptural exhortation is get our mind set on the things of the Spirit. Now, what we're talking about here is eternal life or eternal death. We're talking about two options when your day comes. And that day of judgment. And the question is, you're going to either hear one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Or are you going to be depart from? You're going to hear, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you." This is how serious this is. God knows you, or He doesn't. And those who God knows, He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so there's a bunch of different ways we could frame this. These are some ways I have. The battle is framed in these terms. It is earth or heaven. Now the reality of it is, it's heaven or hell. But that's not what where the battle's framed. You understand what I'm saying? The battle's framed on earth or heaven. The battle's framed in terms of the temporal or the eternal. It's in sensuality or in faith. Those are opposing ways of the way that we view things around us. Comfort or sacrifice. This is the way that this spiritual battle, it's played out. So I want to talk about these things a little bit. I'm going to just hit some scriptures, brethren, to reinforce, to encourage, to help you, to help me get our minds set on the things of the Spirit. Earth or heaven? There are so many things in this earth that seem necessary. There's so many things on earth that, I mean, there are some things we got to do. But let's just do Matthew 6, verse 33. The question comes up about where are we going to get our money? Where are we going to get our food? Where are we going to get our clothing? Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We heard some talk about the assembly of the saints and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Friends, you realize one of the things that we do when we come together is we are communicating with each other. We are not of this world. We are kingdom people. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 says, and we see ourselves. It's not an arrogant attitude towards the world. Okay? Jesus didn't have one, an arrogant attitude towards the world. We'll get to that momentarily. But we are different, distinct, separate from the world. This is our family. This is our nation. This is where our patriotic fervor should lie. I don't like the state that America's in. But brother, our focus can't be on the political fixing of America. Our focus needs to be on building the kingdom of God. Now, along the way, we're going to deal with every issue, including those that affect the politics of America. But this is where our focus needs to be. This is who we are. This is our family. So, how easily do we neglect the assembling together? Is that the habit of some of us? That's, the Scripture says, don't forsake the assembling together. It's the habit of some. Do you realize, I think you do, how strong the pull of the world is? It's going to take everything you got, along with the help of the Holy Spirit, to make it into glory. And if you're taking this casual, you're going to find yourself a casualty.
That's right.
This is serious. We can't focus on things of the world. The things that are important to the world aren't important to us. What sort of retirement plan should we be focusing on? How about the one that's out of this world? I like the hymn, "This World's Not My Home." Did you do that one, Mikkel, today? I don't remember for opening. My brain's fried. Apparently, Mikkel's is too. But remember, we're not living for earth, guys. We're living for heaven. This is related to that. The temporal, the eternal. You know that, like I said, the temporal does seem to have some pressing needs. There are responsibilities. There's things we have to do. We're responsible to do. And the Scripture talks about that. If a man doesn't work, for example, neither shall he eat. We have responsibilities to be able to provide for our household. And some of us try to pretend like we're being spiritual by avoiding those things. A part of being spiritual is doing what God's told you to do, and that's work. But go with me to Matthew chapter 16. At the same time, if we're not careful, that becomes our identity. What you do for work doesn't define who you are. You are a Christian. You have a mission by Christ. That defines who you are. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know, humanism really is pervasive. Give what you can right now. There's all sorts of things in our whole monetary system, our whole economic system, that contributes to that too. Give what you can right now. From fast food all the way up, he who dies with the most toys wins. Baloney. Brother, you need to think about this, and I need to think about this. There's going to be reward for each one of us according to our labor. We go into glory. What sort of treasures are you storing up for the eternal realm? The house that you have up there and the vehicles that you drive up there, that's an eternal representation of who you are. What you have now is temporal. What you have right now is a measure of some sort of social respect for those around you, and it's a really narrow window of time. We got to sell out for that which is eternal. Get our mind set on the things of the Spirit. Does this count for eternity? Now, personally, I'm thankful for the brethren who have reliable vehicles and use and are willing to make sure that the work of the body needs done, or people within the assembly that need those can use it. I'm thankful for that. So I'm not preaching against reliable vehicles. I'm thankful for those whose houses, they're the Lord's house. They're hospitable and they have people. I'm not preaching against it. I'm saying everything we have and do had better be legitimately for the end of building God's kingdom. And if it's not, and you know if it is or not, you got to ask yourself this question: where is my mind set? Christianity is in direct contrast with humanism. I don't have time this morning, but 2 Corinthians 4:16, the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, really remind us that we're longing for our real home. That which is seen is temporal. That which is unseen is eternal. And that leads us into the next one, sensuality or faith. I think of sensuality in just simple terms. It's what we perceive with our senses, what we can hear, what we can taste, smell, touch, and see. And the commercials, in case you wonder how, I think you know how strong this is, but just in case. The commercials, even the ones that aren't bad commercials, even the ones that you let your kids watch, that's one tough thing, isn't it? I watch a little bit of football and commercials come on. Boom, man, that's going over to the Weather Channel because you don't know what's going to be coming across that. Boy's got no business seeing some of that stuff that's on there. Or dad either, for that matter. Don't need to see that stuff. But you think about even the ones that you watch, it's pushing something. It's always something sensual. Maybe it's music. That's something you can hear, right? And there's some sort of appealing beat to the world's music. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, but music's powerful. I didn't listen to much worldly music as I was a kid growing up or in high school. I walk into a gym and there's some 80s song playing, and I maybe heard it 5 times in my life, and I reckon I hear it. Powerful. Being sold to us. The food. When I was younger, I just eat when I needed to eat. Now I get a little older, I kind of like this stuff. And man, it's pitched, isn't it? It's sensuality. I mean, there is a need. There's a legitimate need for all of these things. But the advertiser and the flesh is going to try to get you to indulge fleshly appetites instead of being what's needed. Somebody said there's a difference between what we want and what we need. I think that was Mike. Big difference. The world's going to try to appeal to those wants. So what about stuff you smell? Perfume. I guess that's a... No, I don't know how much the women's beauty market makes, but I'm sure it's a lot. The advertisements are out there for it. The cars. Yeah, there's a status that goes with that, right? Somebody said recently in a message, Jared Schaefer, I think, was something about my friends have Porsches, buy me a Mercedes Benz or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't, what'd you say? That one. That one right there. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Okay, thank you, Michael. Music sticks with you. Got my point. But, you know, the cars that are being sold, the clothes that are out there, or lack of clothes is probably more appropriate on some of these commercials. Out there, hey, what's the Scripture have to say about that? All that's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. It is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And what's it tell us? That is temporal, guys. The world is passing away. And also its lusts. The one who does the will of God abides forever. Where is our mind going to be set? Are we going to get stolen off into the majority of our time and our money being spent on those sorts of things? Are we going to put it to the work of the kingdom? These are questions every one of us got to ask. That's sensuality. Faith looks beyond the realm of the senses. It's not just feeding this. It's saying, how am I going to feed the spirit? Hunger and thirst for righteousness? How about wanting to be a fragrant aroma to our Lord? Smelling good to Him. That might be a fragrance of death for those to those who are dying. Some people aren't going to like you, but the Lord will. What about talking about clothes, our fashion? What about being clothed with Christ? What about being found by Jesus when He comes, dressed in His righteousness? Comfort or sacrifice. You know, the flesh craves comfort. It's always looking for the easy way. And it's easy to fall into the trap of, I deserve this. These are the games that the mind plays in terms of trying to, are we going to do stuff right or are we going to take the easy way? Well, I worked hard. I deserve this. Question I have to ask myself, what's the Lord deserve? I'm glad Jesus didn't have that attitude when He was here. I deserve this. Matter of fact, if I recall, Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. To give His life a ransom for many. Are we looking for comfort or are we willing to sacrifice for the souls of others? It's just real basic marriage. Question our marriage, is it, hey, what am I getting out of the deal? The spouse over here, how come they're not worried about my needs? How come they're not giving me what I... Whoa, 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 whoa. How about following the example of Jesus and say, let's sacrifice for my spouse. Lay down our life. How about at our jobs? That can be tough. Especially if you get bad boss or bad work environment. But you have to remind yourself, who are you working for, guys? Working for the Lord, aren't you? He deserves our best. And you know what? God has a way. God has a way of rewarding those who are His people who bring their best. It might not be at your current job. But you will get rewarded by the Lord. When we meet people, what's our purpose? You know, the world, a lot of times, I'm meeting people and they're, how can I use this contact too? Lots of times people use people to get things. Man, really, we should be using things to get people. It's not how can I use this person to climb the ladder? It's how can I sacrifice for them so that they can be saved? That's something that got to be in the forefront of our mind. Mindset on the flesh or mindset on the spirit. I realize, again, many legitimate needs in this world. Mike talked about one we got, and that's a need to expand the church building. And that's a legitimate need. And we have also talked to the leadership very clearly that that can't become a focus to replace what the real job of the church is. To seek and to save the lost. Matter of fact, you know, right now, we got a lot of work to do in terms of seeking and saving. A lot to do. So, it can't... For a lot of you, they're building projects. This is the mission. That's not going to ever be the mission around here. The reason that a building's being built, Mike did a good job of bringing that out. There's a need, and there's future needs. And we're looking about sending other people out. Guys, this is probably the last building expansion we'll ever have to do. Because I don't think we'll... As we go and we make disciples, if there's 1,000 Christians in this town, are we going to leave them all in this town? Or some of those guys, we're going to send other places, aren't we? So, I don't think we'll have to do beyond this. This is a stepping stone to be able to carry out the continued work of the Lord. Not just in Billings, but fulfilling that great commission that God's given us to do. And I'll just remind you guys, Jesus said this. He said, go. He said, go. That means we got to think about that too. It's not just, well, we'll just kind of go and just, you know, be as a Christian, I'll just live my life as a Christian. Whatever happens, happens. No, there is a mindset that comes with this. Go. I think that's the toughest one. It's the toughest one for me. Get out of your comfort zone and go. Open your mouth. Talk to people. Stick your neck out and make that conversation spiritual. Stick your neck out further and tell people that they're in trouble. You got to do it with love, of course. But we got to do this. Essential step. And that's true, brethren, for every one of us, as individuals and families, as I mentioned earlier. If a man doesn't work, neither let him eat. We got to work. Is your job consuming you, or is it a part of what you're carrying out to be able to carry out the mission of the Lord? I'm appreciative for men and women in this congregation who work hard and who, out of their private means, further the work of God. That's a huge blessing. That's mindset on the Spirit, isn't it? But we gotta continually ask ourselves, are our daily steps, the things that we do day in and day out, the way we go through your checkbook. Mike said, man, that's an indicator where your heart is. Go through your checkbook. The thing where I am spending this, is this for the work of the Lord? Spending your time. Where am I spending my time? Is it so that I can be built up and be more equipped? Or am I kind of vegging out like with the rest of American society? What's on to help me stay brain dead tonight? Well, these are things we got to ask ourselves, guys. What is our mission? What's our focus? Where's our mindset? The mindset is the difference between life and death eternally. So I encourage you, get your mind set on the things of the Spirit. And let's make a push here for the Lord. Let's stand.